Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
I'm Dori Shafrir.
And no, we're not experts. We're just two friends who like to talk
a lot about serums.
I fucked that up.
Oh,
I skipped the a lot.
I mean, it's just that we do like to talk about them a lot.
And also cleansers. We were just having a pre-pod conversation about cleansers.
We sure were. I was searching for a holy grail cleanser to replace my CeraVe, as previously discussed.
And I let you down with my recommendation.
I don't blame you.
I don't know why I'm taking it personally.
You
also
shouldn't.
I shouldn't.
You
that's,
really
that's
shouldn't.
Too much.
It just wasn't for me. It just was not for me, which is fine. And I gave it to you.
Which is what this whole journey is about.
Exactly. So I was like, I am on a mission to find the perfect shower face cleanser. And I may have found it.
Really?
Yes. It is the Hamish All Clean Green Foam Cleanser, which costs $12.
Great price.
Great price. It doesn't leave my skin feeling tight. It doesn't leave my skin feeling dry. It's like a good morning wake up cleanser. But here's the other thing that I've been thinking about. Apparently, unless you have like very oily skin, you don't even really have to wash your face in the morning. You can just kind of rinse it off with water.
Or use like a micellar.
Yeah.
A little wipe of that stuff.
Yeah. So
water.
I've been experimenting with, some days I'm just rinsing, some days I'm using the cleanser. I'm really in an experimenting phase.
That's very minimalistic of you.
Thank you.
I like that. So there are some days, so if you don't use cleanser, you just wash with water.
Yeah, just splash some water in the shower.
And then do you do the rest of your things? Like you would put on your CoQ10 serum, you would put on,
I would put on my moisturizer and sunscreen. I've also been experimenting with my moisturizer and sunscreen, I'm going to tell you. I had been using the COSRX Aloe SPF 50 plus stuff, which I still really like, but it is thick.
Okay.
And so what I've been kind of messing around with is putting on a layer of the Tata Harper moisturizer.
Okay, which I love.
Which I love.
Oh, right? Isn't that stuff a milky heaven?
I love it. I've been meaning to tell you, I love it. It smells so good. I feel like I'm in the spa every time I put it on, and it goes on so smoothly. But I only have this tiny bottle of it because I got it from that Sephora kit. So now I'm like panicked that when I go to buy the actual thing, I'm going to have such sticker shock.
You are. And God damn it, Tata Harper, if I ever meet you, I'm going to hug you and curse you out.
So I've been putting that on. And then over that, I've been putting on the Misha Sun Milk sunscreen, which is also SPF 50, but it's not as moisturizing. It's a much thinner moisturizer. I mean, yeah, it's a much, much thinner sunscreen than the COSRX. So the layers of that have been serving me pretty well. So, I'm out of the COSRX now. I'm going to try this stuff for a little while, but I will soon run out of the Tata Harper. And then I'm really going to have to make a decision.
You are. You're going to have
I'm going to come to a crossroads.
Confront a lot of things.
Yes, exactly.
It's so frustrating. I hate that when you try a sample and you're like, this is great, gonna buy the full size, and then
it's $5 million. That happened to me with the Aesop body lotion, which I got a sample of at a book festival. And I was like, this stuff is great. And then I went to buy some and it was like $98.
That is not right.
No. So instead I got this huge thing of Alba Botanica, very emollient body lotion, which costs $7.50 at Target.
You know, I have that's like the big jug of the white lotion.
Yes.
I also have it and it has 15 SPF, which I think is really great.
Oh, mine doesn't.
Well, I specifically sought out the SPF because you know, I'm trying to protect my skin.
Yeah, sure.
But I find that lotion's very heavy. And
see,
so I
like a heavy lotion. Okay. As you know, I had eczema as a kid and I'm still kind of sensitive to that, especially on my legs and on my lower back.
I know that's that area.
That spot that's kind of like on your side.
Yep. It's like a round, supple piece of your body.
Yeah. And that was a spot that I used to always get. It used to always get red and irritated. And so I do try to put a relatively thick lotion on it. And I get the unscented. I got the unscented version. I've been very happy with it. So my journey to becoming paraben free is going pretty well.
That's,
I'm not going to lie.
I'm really excited for you.
Thank you, Kate.
Can I give two products that I've just started using that I really like?
Yes, please.
Just since we're just kind of sharing.
Yeah.
Okay. I started doing an oil cleanser at night before my main cleanser when I have makeup on. And I've worked through
the double cleanse.
The Dubs cleanse.
Sure.
And I've worked through two different brands. I tried Bane, B-A-I-N, and I tried, and then after that I tried the Hamish.
Yep.
But I have found one that I like even more than both of those. And I got it at our old hangout Sephora's.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to start talking in a very annoying way. I don't know why. Why did I do that? But that's what I feel like calling it today. I had to order it. They don't have it in the store. It's by a brand called Pharmacy. And this is the first time I've ever tried their product.
Okay.
I had it marked in my Sephora app to buy next when I ran out of my current oil cleansers. And this is called Green Clean Makeup Melt Away Cleansing Balm.
Ooh.
And according to Sephora's website, it was a Best of Beauty Allure Award winner in 2017.
Great.
And it has over 27,000 hearts, which means people have marked it and 448 reviews. And it's about like 4.75 stars. Which
and
is
you've
very
used
good.
It.
And I love it.
Oh.
It's very light. I love the scent. It gets everything off. But I was having problems with the previous one I was using because it was irritating my eyes.
Oh.
And this does not. And that's really important because I'm rubbing it all over.
Yeah,
getting it all up
sure.
In there. So I just want to give a little recommendation if you're on the hunt for a really good oil cleanser. A little goes a long way.
How much does it cost?
It's $34, which is on the higher end of what I've paid for this kind of thing. But I really, really like it.
Great.
I'm really excited that I went for it and bought it.
I'm happy for you.
And again, on Sephora, you can always return products that don't work for you. So I feel like it's okay to take the risk.
Totally.
I also recently bought new deodorant at my favorite home away from home, Costco.
Yes. You know, you put this on our Instagram stories and it was, people had a lot to say about it.
People love Costco and they love this deodorant. And I wanted to give it a shout out because the price was really good and I've been wearing it for the past couple of days and I love the smell.
You don't smell bad.
No, I smell probably like rose and vanilla because it's the Schmidt's Rose and Vanilla deodorant.
Ooh, rose and vanilla sounds nice.
I got three deodorants for $13.99.
What?
And that was also, I looked and compared at Costco. Mm-hmm. And that was the price of three secret, you know, antiperspirant deodorants.
So you're not paying a premium for natural stuff.
No. Great. And if, you know, 14 divided by three is not a lot of money per deodorant.
It's less than $5.
I was thrilled. Also because I've been forking over a lot of money for the current natural deodorant I wear. And I just want to say to that deodorant, no more.
No more.
I've moved
You're
on.
Gone. Deodorant.
And also, I do think when you wear the same kind of deodorant for a long extended period of time, your body kind of like figures out the scent. Like it overpowers it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm happy to kind of try something new. But this Schmidt's Rose and Vanilla, if you like the scent of rose, it's really light and really nice.
That is a really good tip.
Yeah. And
thank
again,
you.
Costco for all your beauty needs. I'm such a brand ambassador of Costco. And they pay their employees really well. It's a great company to support I haven't had any red flags come up when I do research on it.
Great.
Anyway, shout out to Costco.
Shout out to Costco.
And of course, shout out to all the people who have reached out to us.
Yes.
Emailed us.
We love you.
Listened.
Yes, listened.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Oh,
it's really encouraging.
It does boost my confidence.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Feel good about myself.
So we alluded to this last episode. We are not quite ready to announce what is going to happen, but we are planning some exciting stuff about getting more of your reader requests. Of your reader requests,
listener requests
into the show. And we are reading all the emails and the Instagram messages and paying very close attention to the Facebook group. And we're on it.
We're listening.
So stay tuned. We also are launching a newsletter, which you can sign up for on our website, forever35podcast.com, which will go out monthly. And it'll be kind of a greatest hits of the last month of the pod with some bonus content, product reviews, etc. So just go to the website. You'll get a pop-up and you can sign up for the newsletter.
And come hang out with us on Facebook in our Facebook group. It's www.facebook.com/groups/forever35podcast. And it's really fun.
It's so fun. People just are chatting all day.
All day.
And we have an offshoot group now for swapping products and selling products too that you don't want.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun. And also, if you like the show, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps people find the show. And, you know, if you could just tell a friend, that would be stupendous.
Tell a stranger.
Oh,
get real awkward and weird and just go up to somebody.
That's a dare.
I dare you. I'm also the least, I would be so petrified to approach a stranger about anything, much less a random podcast recommendation.
Especially, I was just thinking, like, what if we made up flyers and handed them out and people would think we were like Scientologists?
That's a very LA specific
exactly
experience.
Trying to like recruit them. Anyway, and just a reminder that all the products we talk about are always on our website, forever35podcast.com, and you can email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com.
Dory,
Kate,
we have had a few listeners reach out and ask to talk about clothes.
We have.
And clothing care, and also your Instagram slow clothes movement.
Yes.
So we want to kind of focus this episode about that, about
great
purging.
Yeah. I'm psyched to talk about
more,
this stuff.
More sustainable, conscientious clothing lines.
Yep.
About how to buy secondhand stuff online.
Yep.
And about how to do it without losing all your money.
And your mind.
Two important things.
Yeah.
But take us back to when you started purging your closet, because this was something you maybe started, what, about 6 months ago?
Yes. I think it really got going in earnest in August. So yeah, just about 6 months ago. All last year, I'd sort of half-heartedly been trying to buy more sustainably and ethically and just buying less. And it was like kind of working and kind of not. And like one day I just looked in my closet and I was like, wow, I have a lot of clothes that I never wear for various reasons. Either I don't think they look good on me, I don't like the style, like I just don't wear them. And I got kind of like grossed out. You know,
at your consumerism
and my consumerism and just at the sheer amount of stuff that I had. And I was like, oh, I need to do something about this. And the other thing was that I realized that my style had changed. And that I had kind of a uniform previously of like a silk shirt and skinny jeans. You know,
a great look.
And ankle boots, and like it was great, it looked good, but you know, I got to a point where I was like, skinny jeans are kind of uncomfortable.
They are uncomfortable.
I don't think I want to really wear them that much anymore. And like all my jeans were skinny jeans, and I was like, and silk shirts, I am always staining them, and then I have to take them to be dry cleaned. And so it's like every time I wear a shirt, it's like whatever, $8 or something, you know?
And even the fake silk material. Like every shirt I've ever owned from H&M is kind of that fake, I don't know what synthetic material
it is. It's like rayon or viscose. Yeah, or,
but that still has to be dry cleaned.
Yeah. So I'd end up with a lot of dry clean only stuff. And I was just kind of dissatisfied. And so I went through my whole closet and I set aside a bunch of stuff that I was going to get rid of. And I started purging. And I sold a lot of the stuff on Instagram and I sold some stuff on Poshmark and I sold some stuff on eBay. And I would say since then, that was like the first main big purge. I've been like periodically getting rid of stuff, almost every week.
Yeah. I'm impressed, one, by how much you have to rid of.
I know.
But also that you've been consistent about it.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, it is going hand in hand with trying to buy less. And believe it or not.
No, I get it.
You know, and so, and buying less means buying things that you are actually going to wear.
I know, that's so hard.
So I started Slow Clothes Movement, which is on Instagram, just at Slow Clothes Movement, kind of to hold myself accountable, to buy more ethically and sustainably and secondhand, and then also to create a little bit of a community around this stuff and education. And, you know, I think people are getting more interested in this stuff and I'm still learning a ton, and I kind of wanted to have like my own resource for it. So if you're interested in that, you can follow me there. But yeah, that was kind of the genesis of it.
And I like what you have suggested, that there are two methods.
Yes.
And they both are hard.
Yes.
To getting rid of, two methods to purging.
To purging. And I've done both. I you know, I can't necessarily recommend one over the other. You have to just kind of feel out how you're feeling. One is what I call the rip the Band-Aid off method, which is like kind of what I just described, what I did in August. Like you basically have to take every item of clothing you own out of your closet. This is something I learned from a professional organizer. When you're organizing like your stuff, that's what you do. You take everything out and you decide whether you're going to keep it. And that's what you do with clothes and shoes. You take everything out. And, you know, there's some stuff that you automatically know you're going to keep and you can kind of set those aside. But then everything else, you try it on.
And which is a tedious
task. Which is tedious. It like takes so long. And you try it on, you're like, do I like this? Do I wear this? Am I going to wear it? Like, does this suit my lifestyle? And you have to be ruthless. Like that thing that you, that shirt that you have, like sentimental, feels like you have sentimental value. Or, oh, the hardest thing for me is like, oh, this was expensive.
Oh, that's torture for me too.
It's so hard. You're like, oh, I paid a lot for this, so I can't get rid of it. And meanwhile, it's been like sitting in your closet for 2 years and you haven't worn it. And so that is the rip the Band-Aid off method. And when I do that, I put clothes into different categories. One category is clothes I'm going to try to sell. And those are often clothes that are in better condition, clothes that were expensive or from like desirable brands, and then clothes that for whatever reason I don't think I can sell. Or, you know, like it's hard to sell like Old Navy because it was already so cheap.
Sure.
And those I donate. I don't love donating because I think that there's all kinds of stuff you can read about this, but often donated clothes end up in landfills. And so it's not the most environmentally sound practice. Certainly some do get sold to people who need clothes, but a lot of them don't. Some I will try to give away, and then some that are sort of like beyond hope, I will just actually throw out.
Yeah.
But I did ask about this once on Slow Clothes Movement, and people had some suggestions of what to do with clothes that were too damaged to donate. And one person said that she makes dog beds.
Well, that's
and
so cool.
Stuffs them with like clothes that are too damaged. So like, that is kind of my next level, is not throwing out any. I want to get to a point where I'm not throwing out any clothes, that I'm actually like reusing and recycling in some productive way. I am not quite there yet, but I'm working towards that. And then the slow method.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No.
That takes much longer, because that is when you're like, okay, I'm going to see what I wear over a course of 6 months or 9 months or a year. Now, if you live in a place with a different climate, you kind of have to do it over a year, because it's not fair to say like, oh, well, I didn't wear this pair of shorts when you do it in the winter.
Right.
So you basically just turn all your hangers around.
Oh.
And then every time you wear something, you turn the hanger back. And so then at the end of the allotted period, you can very easily see what you wore. And you can do the same with shoes. Like if you have your shoes in a shoe rack, you can turn them one way.
I like this.
So I've done that method as well. And that method is great. It just takes longer.
Sure.
So I suggest either of those.
I can say too, in my own experience, I did a big purge of clothing this year. And for anyone listening who has had children and whose body has physically changed in other ways,
yeah,
but there is a lot of holding on to clothes from before I had kids.
Yeah.
And convincing myself that one day,
yep,
the jeans I was wearing in 2009 were going to, yep, fit again.
Yep.
And I had...
That's a really hard psychological hurdle to get over.
It fucking sucks.
Yeah.
It's super... And it can... I can still be confident and comfortable in my body now,
totally,
and still also stare at the things I wore. I think there's also remembering a time when your life was a little bit different.
Yes.
And possibly, like in my case, more carefree or whatever.
Totally.
Like I was younger. So there's
you kind of want to go back to the person you were. Not really, but like,
yeah, it's like I want to taste a little bit of that.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't want,
totally,
I'm not trying to rewind my life,
right,
but I do want to fit back into those jeans I bought. And I finally had to get rid of all of it.
Yeah.
And also I got rid of sentimental things like my mom's stuff, some of my mom's things.
Yeah, and you wrote a beautiful essay about that.
I did. You can find it on BuzzFeed.com.
Yep.
Because that was really hard. And
that must have been so hard.
I was on I had a bunch of my mom's pajamas and they were just like collecting dust. I didn't wear them. They were stretched out, musty smelling, and they kind of just reminded me of the fact that my mom was dead.
Yeah.
And it wasn't sparking joy.
Right.
But then I got rid of them and then I felt really sad about it. Now I kind of feel okay and I like having the extra room in my closet.
Right.
And my closet's much more, you know, I used to go into it and feel overwhelmed by the clutter and,
yeah,
it's much, I need to do another kind of repurge.
I do think that if you're doing the rip the Band-Aid off method, you don't have to hire a professional organizer, but if you have a friend who can come over and help you, I think that is really helpful, just,
yes,
to have another set of eyes.
Yes.
And to kind of like convince you that you don't need to keep that sweater, you know?
And also there's the other stuff, like I hoard scarves, bags, winter clothes,
totally,
which we don't need here,
totally,
living in California. I mean, it was just bins and bins of stuff I,
yes,
collected since high school.
Yes. So the thing that I always think that I try to think about when I'm purging is that clothes are a sunk cost. You've already spent the money. That money is gone. You're not getting it back.
Okay.
And so if you're not wearing these clothes, they are literally of no value to you.
Oh.
And I realize that sounds harsh.
No, it's good to hear.
But you have to, I find that I have to think that way. Like, oh, there was a moment when I spent $150 on this dress and I feel I have like complex guilt feelings about probably spending that money and buying a dress that didn't flatter me and then not wearing it for 2 years. But like, I can't get that $150 back. That $150 is gone.
It's gone.
So
there's such a guilt feeling. I have a sweater hanging in my closet right now that is it was expensive. So I still have it. I like,
yeah,
can't bring myself to
totally
get rid of it, even though I don't wear it. It doesn't fit right.
Yep. So one thing that helps me a little bit with this is trying to sell clothes.
Yeah.
Because even though you almost never will get back what you spent, and it is funny, like a lot of times you'll see people trying to sell clothes for like close to what they paid, and they don't understand that the secondhand economy is totally different. It's like, no one cares that you spent $200 on that shirt if no one wants it.
Yeah.
You know,
I see that. I love buying clothes and she's on Poshmark.
Yes.
And I see that, that even if it is brand new out of the box, you're something, not going to get.
Right. Yeah. So, and some things do keep their value, but a lot of things don't.
Yeah.
And so, but I find that it kind of like makes it, it assuages a little bit of my guilt in terms of the money,
sure,
to try to recoup some of it, even though it's gone.
Yeah.
And so I have had great success selling on Instagram, in part because I do have a pretty substantial, I don't have like a huge Instagram following, but I have enough of a following that like enough people will see my post and presumably someone will be interested in it. So I've had good luck selling on Instagram. There's also an Instagram account called Noisaf Bazaar.
I have no idea how to pronounce
it. I don't either. Well, it's just fashion spelled backwards.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I thought it was some fancy word.
No, it's fashion spelled backwards. So it's fashion spelled backwards dot bazaar, B-A-Z-A-A-R. And they sell, you can sell stuff through them. You submit it to them. And then you pay them a listing fee of $2.80 if you sell it. Which, you know, Poshmark takes 20%. And eBay takes like 10%. So economically, it's a lot better to sell on there. And I've sold some stuff on there. And
the clothes on there are really cute.
Yeah, their clothes are really cute.
They look like they belong to like a cool character in an indie movie.
Totally. They say no, you know, they don't sell fast fashion. You're not going to find used like Zara on there usually. But it's a good place to sell. And it's also a good place to buy. And then, yeah, so I will sell on there. I've sold on Poshmark. I've sold on eBay. I've sold a few things on Tradesy, although I don't think anyone is really using that site anymore. So yes, I've sold to friends. I also, I am not a fan of clothing swaps.
Yeah, why?
Because I feel like it is another opportunity for you to end up with stuff that you don't actually want.
Which you're right, because that's happened to me.
Yes.
I go and I'm like, this is a free.
Totally.
And then I get things that I'm like, I go home and I'm like, why did I do this?
Yeah. So I say beware of clothing swaps. I mean, one thing that you could do is drop a bag of clothes off at a clothing swap. Of course, then that like leaves the person in charge of the clothing swap responsible for them if no one takes them. But I, you know, everyone's always like, do a clothing swap. And I'm always like, but the point is to get rid of stuff, not to like trade stuff in for other stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess I could see the value if that's like your only way of, like, if you're doing a whole wardrobe reconception. I don't know.
I've also I sold a big bag of stuff to ThredUp.
Yeah,
which is makes it so easy for you. They send you the donation bag.
Yes,
you just stuff it and they select what goes on their site. And yeah. I thought I wasn't going to make any money from it, and I was just kind of doing it to do it. But it's been kind of great. And I should have this confirmed before this conversation, but I believe I can use the money that I make back from them on their site.
You can.
Which I plan on using, especially for kids' clothes.
Yes.
Because this is,
I've seen a lot of new with tag stuff on ThredUp.
I gave some new with tag stuff that my kids had outgrown. And kids' clothes, you go through stuff so fast. It's hard to find stuff like Target, Old Navy. All these places make really cute, really cheap kids' clothes.
Yep.
But if you are trying to be a little bit more aware about where clothes come from.
Yes.
Or you want to just buy secondhand so you're not adding to clothing waste.
Yeah.
It's a great, ThredUp is great for children's clothes.
Yeah, I've like, heard that from a lot of
tons
people.
Tons of cool J. Crew kids' clothes.
Mm, which are expensive.
Yeah, I would never buy at the Crew Cut store.
Totally.
Gap. I mean, there's just great. And then Target and Old Navy stuff on there too, just much cheaper. So parents.
That's awesome. So before we go on to how to buy new clothes, I think we're going to pause for a word from our sponsor.
Great.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level,
Visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh. Sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With honey love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift, all while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
Okay, we're back.
So I love your idea of figuring out your uniform, because this is something I've spent the last year trying to do.
It's hard.
It's hard. And for someone who doesn't feel like they're quote unquote good at fashion, you can kind of know what you want to look like, but have no idea how to execute it.
Totally.
And so then you just end up with a bunch of stuff that doesn't feel like you.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, as I mentioned in the beginning of the segment, it's especially hard, I think, when you're around our age and you feel like the stuff that you wore in your, certainly in your 20s, but even in your early 30s, just doesn't feel like you anymore. Like you've entered a different phase and it's like, wait, what do I wear?
I can vividly remember my mother starting to get very into Eileen Fisher, mm-hmm. Chico's,
yep.
J. Jill, yep. and Garnet Hill.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what the hell is she doing wearing all these flowy linen yeah. things? And now, as I approach 40 in a couple of years, that's all I want.
Yeah.
Give me all the flow.
I mean, what's funny, though, is that this look has also been adopted by like people in their 20s.
Yes. It's now cool it's to cool wear to amorphous wear,
right,
shapes.
Oversized clothes.
Yeah.
But that was a big thing for me. And, you know, I don't think that my style like changed radically. It just kind of modified a little bit.
I feel the same way about myself.
So I'm wearing like slim cut pants and jeans. They're just not skinny jeans. They're not like painted on, but they're still flattering. Like I'm an apple shaped person.
Okay.
So I have a thicker waist and narrower hips and skinny legs, but a big chest. And
that's apple.
That is
I'm
apple.
I'm trying to think of what fruit I am. I would say like a pineapple.
Oh,
I don't. I have no idea.
I know. It's also so. I also hate like calling your body a fruit. It's so dumb.
Yeah.
But I feel like when I say apple shape, like people are like, oh yeah, okay, I know what you're talking about. So a thinner cut pant looks good on me. Like wide cut stuff generally doesn't look good on me. I can't wear like a billowy skirt, for example,
like a long flowing maxi skirt.
I don't love those, but I'm talking about the ones that are like sort of high waisted.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. And kind of billow out because my waist is too thick in proportion for those skirts. It's too thick in proportion to my hips. So the waist is always way too tight, but then it's like huge in the hips and it just looks terrible.
Can I also say one thing that has been irritating to me my whole life and remains irritating?
Yes.
Is looking, and this is starting to change, I yeah. think, but looking at clothes that I like modeled on stick thin models.
Yes.
Because the things that look good on very lean humans aren't going to work on my shape.
Totally.
And then I get really disappointed when they don't. And so, I have started to see clothing lines use all different body.
Yes.
It's not that all different, but you know, not just a size two, but that can be so frustrating.
Really frustrating.
You know, it's like, oh, look at this sack dress. This looks great on this model.
Right. She weighs like 3 pounds.
Yeah. And then I get it and I look like a woman in a sack.
Right. So, yeah. Ugh. So that's hard. But you know, I think when you sort of figure out your uniform, then you can start becoming more mindful of what you buy because you don't have to look the same every day, but it's like you do kind of have an aesthetic. And what I found really helpful when I was kind of transitioning was starting a Pinterest board.
Yes, totally.
That I called like new looks.
The new me.
Yeah. I mean, it was a private board.
Okay. I have so many private boards.
So that was really helpful because I could just like put things on there that I liked that were my aesthetic. And then I also, one thing that's really important, I think, is to think about things and to just be more mindful about what you're buying, to really cut down on the impulse shopping, which was really hard for me, both online and, you know, IRL.
Well, I've noticed about myself that the same way I emotionally eat,
yes,
I like stress shop and emotional shop.
Totally. And before my book came out, I bought so much shit.
I mean, same. Probably the reason we even started this podcast is because I was anxiety buying skincare before my book came out.
Yeah.
I was like, do you want to talk about all the stuff that I'm hoarding? Dory, can I also say one thing about style?
Yeah.
That I feel like I'm really trying to work on is buying clothes not because they look good and not thinking clothes need to look good, but thinking that they need to feel good.
Mm.
Does this feel good on my body?
Yes.
It's really cliche to say when you feel good, you look good. But I have really come to know that that is true. I feel so much more comfortable and better in my skin when the things that I'm wearing feel right on my body.
Yes, I agree.
Not trying to wear, you know, like a, you know, like when I was in college and I wanted to wear like halter tops and tube tops and
yeah,
strapless things, but I had boobs, so I would cut the top off of control tights. What's the thing I'm looking for?
Oh, control top pantyhose.
Yeah, and I would use that as a strapless bra.
Oh.
And I also have duct taped my duct tape things to my skin to try to make my boobs smaller.
Oh, that sounds painful.
It was a, you know, 19, 20 were weird years for me.
For everyone, I think.
That's true. But we all, you know, there's that feeling of trying to wear the things that look good on other people.
Totally.
And they might not feel good on
totally.
You.
Anyway. So I think, you know, I'm trying to buy less. And so part of that is acknowledging not everything looks good on me. And like some things that I think are so like great looking, like oversized sweaters just overwhelm me.
Yeah.
And I end up selling them to Kate because she's like 5 inches taller than me.
I take all Dory's. She buys these cool Canadian sweaters and I got it because it didn't work for her. And let me tell you, it's the nicest sweater
I
own.
It's so nice. And I was like, I don't think this is quite right on me. And then as soon as Kate put it on, I was like, oh, that's how it's supposed to look.
I mean, I'm 5'10".
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it will fit better. It's so annoying. That's what's so annoying about clothes.
Yeah. So, you know, and the other thing is I am trying to only buy stuff from ethical or sustainable brands or to buy secondhand because the way that clothes are made and the way that clothes are disposed of, I think is really problematic. And so that's something I've been trying to do. I've been like mostly successful.
Well, you know, a lot of those brands are, the price tags are steep.
Yes.
I found, cause I covet them, but they're expensive. So I look for them secondhand.
Totally.
Cause I, you know, it's, you can save yourself a few bucks.
Yeah, of course.
And then, broken my Madewell habit.
A thing that I will also do sometimes is I will sell a bunch of clothes like in a weekend and get like, let's say $250 for selling like 10 things. And then I'll take that $250 and buy like one or two things.
That's great.
From a sustainable line.
I love that.
So,
Can you tell us a little bit about caring for clothes? This was a question somebody had, which I am so grateful for because I have shrunk so many things.
Yeah. So I will preface this by saying that for me, this is still kind of a work in progress, but I can tell you like what I've picked up and kind of what I do. One thing that I do now is I avoid dry clean only clothes because it's, I mean, like I said before, I was wearing these shirts and I would stain them like every time I wore them. And silk is so delicate also. It shows everything. And I would end up having to dry clean stuff like every time I wore it, which is like bad for the environment. It's expensive. And then also you're taking them to the dry cleaner and I would collect my stuff in a bag to take to the dry cleaner. So a shirt would be out of commission for like 6 weeks.
Totally.
And
yeah,
like
it just sits there in your basket.
And you want to, you know, I try to think about cost per wear. Like I want to get a lot out of my clothes. And so if a shirt is sitting in your bag to take to the dry cleaner for 6 weeks, that's totally useless. So I'm really trying to avoid dry clean only clothes. If you do have dry clean only clothes, you can wash a lot of them. You can wash at home in a mesh bag that you can get. I've seen them at like the Container Store. You can get them on Amazon with a delicate laundry detergent. The Laundress makes a really nice one.
But is like Woolite also a delicate laundry detergent?
Yeah. So when you hand wash, and I hand wash stuff in Woolite, I think Woolite's great. The Laundress on their website also has a good guide for how to wash dry clean only clothes at home and how to test your clothes to see if they are able to be washed at home. Because there are going to be some dry clean only clothes that you can't wash at home. I also have to say, wash your clothes less.
Yeah.
Like, I don't wash my clothes that much.
I don't either. I don't wash any jeans.
I don't wash my jeans. I wash my underwear.
I don't. I just skip everything now. No, I do. I do wash those.
But I've even started wearing socks twice.
Yeah, why not? Like, unless they stink or gross.
Yeah, and shirts I will wear, like unless I stain them or they really stink, I will wear them like 5 or more times. Basically unless stuff gets really dirty or smells bad, I will keep wearing it and not wash it. So if you look in my laundry basket, you will see underwear. You'll see a couple of pairs of socks. You might see some workout clothes that I've, like, I also don't wash workout clothes every time I wear them. So you might see like something that was like disgusting. But other than that, like there's not a ton in there.
Just hang it right back up.
Just hang it right back up. So that is really important. One thing that I don't do yet, but I feel like this is like my next step, is to start air drying my clothes.
Which is easier to do here in Southern California.
Yes, for sure.
Because we have air dry weather.
Yes.
And I don't expect people in Minnesota.
Also, like, if you live in New York and you don't, or anywhere else, and you don't have laundry in your home and you're going to the laundromat, it's not really practical to like lug home like a bag full of wet clothes and then hang them up in your apartment.
Right.
So, you know, if it's possible, I think it's really good to air dry your clothes. So I'm going to start trying to do that. So those are some things that I think are just the avoiding buying dry clean only clothes and washing your clothes less, I think, are two things that everyone can start doing immediately that really do make a difference.
That sounds great. It saves yourself some money.
It
saves the environment. Saving the environment.
And also, like, your clothes last longer when you don't wash them as much. So it's all good. And you're less likely to like start shrinking stuff because you're just not washing it as much.
Which is all I do. I bought like 4 viscose tanks and then I shrunk them all the first time. But that was my own fault. I just didn't read. And I'm lazy. I hate the idea that I can't put something in the dryer. I get confused.
Right. Well, it's like, it's also annoying. So, you know, that's why I'm saying, like, try to simplify as much as possible. If you, you know, before you buy the thing, read the laundry tag. If it says hand wash and lay flat to dry, and you're like, I'm never going to do that, I'm just going to end up throwing it in my laundry basket and washing it and shrinking it, then don't buy it, you know? So it all kind of starts early. So those are all my tips.
Good tips.
Let us know if you have other tips. I hope to do kind of a separate post on our website about this stuff. With more resources and also links to ethical clothing designers.
That's what I was going to ask for.
Yeah.
Is who do I know who to buy?
Yeah.
And who to avoid?
Yes. My plan is, by the time this episode comes out, there will be a separate post on the website just all about this stuff. And I'd love to hear from you guys as well about what you're doing to kind of buy less and purge your closets and buy more ethically and sustainably and take care of your clothes and all that stuff.
Cool. Thank you for sharing all your wisdom.
Oh, thank you for letting me.
Dory, I think it's time to hear from our guest.
It sure is. Kulap Velaysak is our guest today.
Yay, she's so cool.
She's so great. Here's Kulap.
It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article, and I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time, and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping, and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters. And then my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs.
Oh.
Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. And you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece, or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So our guest today is Kulap Vilaysack. Welcome, Kulap.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, thank you for coming on. I'm just going to read your bio here so everyone knows who you are. I know this is always the most embarrassing part of the podcast for every guest. They're like, oh.
It's like a positive slam book entry.
Totally.
I'm going to love it.
Yes. Kulap was born in Washington, D.C. and raised in Eagan, Minnesota, and she currently resides in Los Angeles with her husband, Scott, and her dog, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Georgia Michaela.
Yes, for George Michael.
That's brilliant.
A great namesake.
Do you use the full name when you say, do you say, Georgia Michaela, come, or do you?
No, I feel like that is like ridiculous.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Just Georgia. Sometimes Gigi.
Oh, cute.
Yeah.
So Kulap also co-hosts the podcast Who Charted with her longtime friend Howard Kramer, and she is currently in post-production of her debut documentary Origin Story, although you finished
completed
it. You've completed it.
But just completed.
Okay. So I'm not like that behind. Which features a road trip into her complicated past.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. She was also the creator and showrunner of the comedy show Bajillion Dollar Properties, which was on CISO.
R.I.P.
So good.
Thank you.
And she has also been on many shows that you have watched, including The Office, Parks and Rec, Happy Endings, Bob's Burgers, Sarah Silverman Program, Reno 911, recurring roles on Children's Hospital and Comedy Bang Bang. And she has been on in the movies I Love You, Man and Welcome to Me, starring Kristen Wiig.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of those things.
Man.
I know.
That's all required viewing.
Yes.
By the way.
Literally.
That was just like a list of every show I've ever loved.
I feel like you've curated like a very good resume.
Ooh, I love that. Yeah. An artisanal career.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a cheese plate of delicious
nicely
shows and movies.
Done.
I love cheese.
So do we.
You're in good company.
Oh, great, yeah, great.
Exactly. So Kulap, thank you so much for coming on the show. We're very happy to have you.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. So we always start off by asking our guests about one of their self-care routines.
Look, I have a lot. Okay. I wonder if you guys...
We can handle
it. I'm a Taurus.
Me too.
Okay, yes.
I get
so
you.
I like food. I love drink. I love yes. sex. I love comfort.
Earthly so, delights.
Thank you. A spa treatment? Okay. An extensive skincare routine? Mm-hmm. Sometimes do I not do it? Oh, yeah. Because of why? I'm stubborn.
Because you're a Taurus.
Yes, guys.
I feel you.
I'm about that therapy life. I'm about astrology. I had a Israeli lady yell at me to breathe when I
Rahel?
Did the... Yes.
Wait. Hold on a second.
I've heard about her. I want to go.
The Grinberg method. The Grinberg method. But I don't know if I feel like it's not no longer in LA.
Okay. But what was the intention?
The modality is about that is about sort of breathing number one, but because we we're carrying our past and our trauma in our bodies.
Okay.
And to release that and in the hopes of being completely present.
Did it work?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, it was. It's something that was very effective.
Wow.
But it's hard for me to recommend it because it was so unpleasant.
Physically and emotionally?
Yes.
I mean, not to bring you back to that unpleasant place, but
no, what was mainly unpleasant was the past that I was running away from and not dealing with. So it's a lot of man in the mirror stuff, which is just, it's the hardest work and the most rewarding work.
You just listed off numerous things. It sounds like you've done a lot of work on getting to the root of yourself.
Yes.
Which is very unpleasant. I have discovered just through therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do that too. Yeah.
That's really sometimes not fun.
Yeah. And then I had hoped that once I had maybe addressed it once, I'd be done with it. Uh-huh. I would get disappointed because I wanted to be healed.
Sure.
So that we could move on, you guys. It's enough. Like, enough already.
Right.
But yeah, those types of lessons where it's like, oh no, this is a practice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you see her regularly or was it like a one-time thing? Or?
Oh, it's never a one-time thing. Rahel, believe it or not, it was. You could do individual sessions.
Okay.
And I did those along with essentially it was for a crazy amount of weeks. It was 3 hours a week, at least 30 hours of a class. Basically,
whoa.
That was 3 hours every like Wednesday night, and you would work on it. We would work on a subject every
wow.
week. It was intense.
Do you find has that contributed to your self-care, or has it been more like there's a fine line of like,
yeah,
what makes you feel good and what actually can make you feel worse? But also, they kind of run together. They bleed together.
Yeah, no, it does. But I probably part of the, it's just something, it was, no, I mean, it was good. And it ultimately, again, was great. And the things that came out of it were like, oh, I realized that like when I get upset or nervous, my left shoulder goes up. It's being so conscious
wow.
of stuff like in my body and of like, you know, the times that I like clench my butt and butthole, like stuff like that, where I'm like not even knowing I'm doing it. I just
right.
would treat my body as just sort of, I guess, a vehicle for my head. I'd run into things. It was just stuff that I used to be very just, and I still struggle with just being sort of head based and not being, you know, in my body. So
mm-hmm.
it really helped me. And I think if I did it now, it wouldn't be as hard, but it's because I needed it that much.
Yeah.
I mean, truly, she was like, you're not breathing. And I would be like, yes, I am. Like, it was just like a will thing that I was going through, you know, and it's just something that I had to go through to get to where I am.
So what is an ongoing thing that you are doing self-care wise?
See, ongoing therapy for sure. I have Heidi Rose Robbins is very much in my life.
We've both gone to her.
Yes.
Kate more than I.
Heidi is
an astrologer for those who
yes.
are not familiar.
Yes, mm-hmm. which is immediately your red flag might go up.
Absolutely.
That sounds ridiculous. And then all you have to do is listen to Heidi's podcast, The Radiance Project,
mm-hmm.
and you will realize she is an angel who walks among us, who's helped me so much
yeah.
in my life. Yeah, she's amazing.
I started seeing her, I'm 37 now, I started seeing her when I was 30 at a time
wow.
when I felt like I was not feeling great about my work.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't feeling strong in my relationships. I think just my sense of self was wanting at the time. And I think she really has been integral to me getting to the root of it and getting and just actionable ways and hope and love of kind of making me understand through astrology, through my signs, through the hand that I was given,
mm-hmm.
Compassion for myself and for others. And she was the one actually who got me into the Grinberg method.
Heidi's so, like a gateway drug
yeah,
for all other
really
sorts
is.
Of interesting self-care routines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For people who have not visited an astrologer before who might not be familiar with astrology beyond maybe like reading Susan Miller. What would you say, like, how would you say astrology helps you in a way that, or it makes you think about kind of your life in a way that, say, therapy doesn't?
I would say that it's hand in hand with therapy for me, but for astrology, we all kind of know about our sun signs, mm-hmm. and that's just like the day we were born, right? And with Heidi, she works off of your natal chart, and there's you can deep dive, and there's advanced stuff. But what I understand is you. What I call the three main signs. She probably has a better term for them.
Three works.
Like three that. Works, right? So your moon, and so you get your moon, sun, and rising or ascendant. And your moon is like your past, your first family, your mother. Your sun sign is your personality, how you enter in a room. And your rising or ascendant is your mission in life. It's mm-hmm. what you're reaching towards. And I feel like those three signs, like in combination is who you are. And for me, it was a leaning into those signs and accepting mm. the higher callings and the lower callings. For a Taurus, you can relate.
Yep.
Higher calling is, you know, a love of beauty, there's a strength. The lower calling is there's a stubbornness to it, a sort of fixed thought point. Mm-hmm. But the phrase for Taurus is the onward rush of the bull of God. So when you can't move a bull when it doesn't want to move, but when it decides to go, you cannot stop it. Mm-hmm. So there's in every sign, there's that. And for right. me, I'm a Gemini rising. That's about communication. That's about fusing opposites and bridging people. Networking, it's talking, it's technology, it's brothers and sisters. And when I do things in that realm, I know it feels right.
Yeah.
And it gives me like sort of the backup that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And that's comforting.
I love that.
Yeah.
You can also, for anyone listening, I believe you can, if you enter in your date of birth. I mean, you might be able to find out via a free app.
What yes. your Cafe Astrology does free natal charts. And all you have to know is your place of birth, your time of birth, and of course the day. And you'll get a full rundown, and it'll go deeper into like just where there's houses and there's like all yeah. these degrees and yeah, trines and conversations. And yeah. So, but I think women, especially, here comes a general statement.
Love it.
Like,
let's hear it.
Somebody said this, and I for women, I think, and it resonated with me, is just the belief that maybe like something cosmic or the stars are taking care of you or have you in mind. I think there's a feeling of that's a good feeling. And that's how I feel about astrology.
It's comforting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really comforting.
Oh, it makes me feel good. Doesn't it? Well, there's like a sense of being held.
Yes. Yes.
Held. Yeah.
Held by the stars too. That's nice.
Yeah.
Touch.
Yeah.
Or just that something knows you almost like on another
totally.
Level. Right.
Well, and I think there's something almost comforting in the surrender to it.
Yes. Yeah. I think so too. Yeah. Like that's the part of like, that the higher and lower callings, like, okay, I'm like this, but I can try to, I know what the antidote is.
Yes.
You know, and there for me, like a Taurus, it's great for me to reach out to my opposite sign, which is a Scorpio. Taurus sometimes wants to keep it up here, wants to keep it real. Like we don't need to like kind of surface and like mm-hmm. we have to talk about. Scorpio says we're talking about it. We're wrestling with it. We wrestle so that we can see the light. But yeah, it's the great, you go deep with mm-hmm. a Scorpio, and that's sometimes that's the antidote. That's the remedy.
Yeah.
Sometimes for what ails me too. So it helps with, there's some just strategy and formula to it. So if you're analytical,
yeah,
like
yeah.
there's something there for you too. Like, and I think with therapy and with all like self-care, it's like, you're just looking for ways to make things okay or to change yeah. your situation because you're frustrated, and it's like strategy, like in my mind, you know.
Have you ever had the situation where you've gone to therapy for one thing and then it turned out it really what was bubbling up was something completely different? Have you ever had any of those kind of discoveries?
I mean, I think I remember, not necessarily in therapy, but that does happen. It's like, oh, why do I think this is why I have a feeling. Here's an example. I was part of the Lao, like 2 years ago or maybe 3 years ago, I was invited to the Lao Writer Summit. And when I was asked to do it, I was like, I don't know if I want to do this. What do they want from me? I was holding all this baggage of like, you know, my past and what the community, I'd never, I always felt outside of the community. When I got there, I found myself amongst people who understood, who were creatives. And I really felt like, oh, wow, there are people like me. And it was really exciting. And then I was invited again to the following summit in San Diego, like even an even better experience. I knew more people, deeper bonds and got to meet new people. And then this past year in Seattle was not asked. And I got butthurt about it. I was really upset about it. And I was like, I reached out to somebody I consider like an older sister and who's involved with like very much involved with like organization in Lao American community as a whole. And I was like, look, what's up with that? Like, why wouldn't they even like ask me for money? Because I've donated before. Like, I was just in the New York Times. I mean, what's up? Like, yeah. all of this like ego stuff. And then she sort of explained to me, like, the organization was tough. It was like right hand not talking to left hand. And please don't take this personally. And while she was talking about it, I just realized, like, oh, why I'm upset is that I felt like I was on the outside again. And that's really what was driving the sort of like petty, ego-driven, like hurt feeling. And then once I realized that what that was, and it wasn't how dare they anymore, right? Like, how, oh my, don't they know? Like, I, you know. Like,
don't they know who I am?
Then I was like, it's because I thought, and it's not even what that really what it is. It wasn't personal. Yeah. It's just like it just wasn't. And then I was like, oh, okay, I got this. And then all of a sudden, like everything kind of became crystal clear. And it was like, oh, I should just, that's really okay. And, and it's like the things that I want to do with that community, I can do them without, you know, being asked to the party, if you will. Like, and so I did. I've started sort of a group in LA called Los Angeles that kind of, cool. Yeah, like,
good pun.
Thanks. Thank you so much. I'm really, really proud of it.
The work is important, but
thank
the
you.
Pun.
I mean, it starts with the pun and then we work from there.
But what does the organization do? Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, well, right now it started sort of as started as a mentee group, really. It was some younger Lao Americans who are interested in being in an entertainment. And when I came out here, there was no other Lao to be seen, much less many minorities in the circles that I ran through. So just for the most part, it's goals and creative writing. But a lot of it is just like big sister stuff of like, I've been in this town for almost 20 years. I spent most of my adult life here in LA. So I can offer a lot of guidance when it comes to that. And then it grew to like expanding it via a Facebook group. And now today there's like 55 members, and that's Los Angeles and Orange County. It keeps growing. And I'm, and then it became sort of like, oh, let's come together and like, let's build a community here that didn't exist before of Lao Americans. And let's try to boost everybody's signals, a little bit. Cause there's people who are small business owners. There's people who are in entertainment. There's people, who are academics that are out here. Let's do things together. Let's support a traveling chef who has a cookbook, James Siaboot. Let's go, you know, let's volunteer, let's hike, stuff like this. But then my next level that I'm working on now is to make it a not-for-profit.
Wow.
And I'm looking at, this is opening my, today was my day of like just doing a bunch of research and trying to put together a business plan. Everything costs money, guys. I didn't know that. But my goal with that is, and I'm still formulating it, is to make it an advocacy group for the advancement of Lao Americans in media and entertainment. Because we're always going to be a minority of a minority, but if you're loud, Kate, enough, you can find yourself a seat at the table. And so that's sort of, I want more Lao Americans to be behind and in front of the camera. I want to boost other Lao American associations and what Lao American individuals are doing. There's a cultural thing that happens for us because everyone comes from refugees, war mm-hmm. refugees. There's a lot of distrust because there was a secret war that coincided with the Vietnam War. And a lot of us here are here because of amnesty. And Laos is the most heavily bombed country in the entire world. And it was a secret war. It's not a secret anymore, but most Americans don't know about it. And during the war, a lot of neighbors had to turn against neighbors. So a lot of the problems that existed in the country of Laos reformed again in the refugee camps. But you were in tighter quarters. It was a time of violence and uncertainty. And those are our parents. And yeah, that trauma is in our DNA. And so sometimes it's hard to organize.
Yeah.
And what that equals sometimes is lack of cohesiveness mm-hmm. As a community. And certainly there's not many of our stories in sort of the landscape of Asian American identity. So I want to try to do something here.
That's amazing. And I, listening to you talk, and I'm probably projecting my own insecurities, but I feel like it takes so much courage to like stand up and be like, well, this doesn't exist. I'm going to make this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to create this space and bring forth these people and use all my, I mean, that's a huge,
it's pretty Gemini, isn't it?
But it is. It really is.
And that's
a little Aquarian.
That's
I don't know if you have any of that in you.
I don't. But yeah, I love Aquarius. I'm a Howard's in Aquarius. I have friends who are Aquarius. And it's like feeding the water to, isn't it bearing the cup for man or something like that?
Yes, it's like pouring forth the water, but it's all about connecting, you know, connecting and communicating.
Yeah. I mean, it occurs to me in your work with this community and like even as a showrunner and a director, like so much of what you do is kind of giving yourself to other people. And so how do you make sure to kind of take the time you need for yourself?
Yeah, I, as gregarious and ebullient as I can be, I do have to recharge my battery. I spend time. I like my alone time. I love being an individual within a group. I thrive in these types of situations. I believe that, you know, it's important to create an environment where everyone's best can come through
mm-hmm.
And people feel valued. And I think that's when we create the best things together.
Yeah.
I like being in a position to guide that and direct that. But yeah, I mean, I definitely have my comforts. I love a massage. If I do soothe, it's going to be probably 2 hours. Mm-hmm. I don't have kids yet, so I have that luxury.
Yeah.
I have to exercise a lot
mm-hmm.
For my mind, for my mental.
What do you like to do exercise-wise?
Kickboxing. I like kickboxing a lot. I like hiking.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to be more in nature because I feel better when I'm around trees and not just in front of a screen.
Yeah.
It's like, it's supposed to be good for your mind to like see a different landscape.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to do that Japanese forest bathing.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to do that. I want to just like
Just walk through the woods.
Yeah. You know, I just, stuff like, so I like being with my friends. I love I love entertaining. I like cooking and, you know, so I make sure to have that stuff, to just balance me out.
Yeah.
Some days I, you know, when I was in production or when I'm in the midst of origin story, I wasn't very successful at that, but, I know that's what I need to do.
You can also, when you get really depleted, you know, there are times when you sound like someone who works really, really hard at what they're passionate about, and you can deplete. And then when that's done, you can take some time to kind of build up your
reserves.
Yeah. Like pile it back up, and then you go give them hell on the next thing.
Yeah. Well, it's a picture of the bull again. It's like, I got to sit, you know, chew on some cud, you know, like, and then when it's time to go, you know? And the truth is I am a beast of burden. I'm not like, there are some peers who have, you know, they've just, they're, at least from the outside, their career trajectory seems to just be like, pew, where I'm sort of a steady, you know, bison, like an oxen, like, and that's fine. Like, you know, I'm steady, I'm hardworking. I just put, you know, like, that's not that they're not hardworking, but like, just again, I'm a cow. That's all you guys.
I know that you have many steps in your skincare routine.
Yes.
Is that process soothing to you? Like,
it's self-care.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It totally is me. Like, it's this, like, I'm doing this for me. You know, yeah. Do I need to cleanse that much? Yes, I do. Do I need to moisturize that much? Yes.
I mean, your skin is very dewy from over
here. Thank you. It's dewy. Sweat. I'm sweating. I don't know why.
Who needs skincare products when you could just sweat?
I'm sweating.
What are some of the skincare products you use?
A lot of it is Korean. Although recently I started using some products from the Ice Skin, SKYN, which is from Iceland. It's a women owned. They're known for their eye patches.
I don't know this. A woman-owned Icelandic company sounds very cool.
I am using, there's a brightening eye serum that's nice, and then a cooling moisturizer for stressed out skin.
Ooh, I like a cooling.
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yes, but I go to SoCo Glam and I do the whole 10 steps. And sometimes I don't do the whole 10 steps, but
it's a lot.
But when I do them,
yeah, that is a lot of steps.
A lot of steps.
Yeah. I mean,
a lot of products.
One step is also a fine routine. Zero steps is also okay when you need it to be.
Totally.
But
try not to do that very often, though.
No.
Try not.
Try at least one or two.
Yeah.
Can I ask what lipstick you're wearing?
Yes, I am wearing, Bite is the name of the brand. They have great pigments.
It's gorgeous.
Thank you. I believe this one's called Molasses.
I know, I sound like I'm a judge on Great British Baking Show, and I just took a bite of something. It's really beautiful.
Really nice. I had to ask.
It's a natural color, but it also pops.
Yeah.
It's just great.
It's a totally great sponge.
Before we wrap up, I wanted to just ask about the experience of working in entertainment and how you kind of manage the highs and lows, because I think they both exist. I'm sure you've experienced them. What are some of your coping mechanisms for kind of dealing with the stresses of working in TV?
Man, there's a lot of ways to address that. I think all of... I can speak to when I became a showrunner, all of the problems or angst or stresses I had, for the most part, were issues that I had outside of the industry. Mm. I remember there was a time when I was just like, really, like, I thought everyone, like, I acted as if someone was going to take it away from me. That they were going to take the show away from me, that they were, you know, like...
Did you feel like you had imposter syndrome? Like, was it imposter syndrome?
Sure, absolutely. Okay. That's something I deal with, you know, self-worth.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and then when I... After misbehaving some way, somehow, I'm sure, or treating people. When, if you can imagine, if you thought that way, and when in reality, everybody actually wants you to do, they're counting on you to do a great job. Yeah. They're wanting you to do a great job. They're giving you the opportunity, so many people, to give you a good job. Okay, so if that's the reality, and if I am acting like you're trying to take it away from me, and that's what's kind of riding, like how simply violent that could be. Like, just how, like, oh, that's not great. That's not a great way. And when I made the shift and realized, oh, that's just my fears.
Yeah.
That's my insecurities manifesting itself into being a little shithead sometimes. And so I can probably think of things like that. I mean, my problem with, like, just an ongoing with my appearance as an actor. If I felt growing up that I wasn't, you know, pretty enough, or that my weight was a problem, that only gets magnified as an actor, if that is one of my insecurities, and it certainly was. And there have been times that's just been a ride for me. Because I'll look back at old photos and go, wow, I looked great, but I know at this moment in time, I hated how I looked. I wasn't happy with my weight. Like, it's just so, I mean, that's been in terms of like self-care, love of just being like, you know, like trying to find a way. And in this industry, it can be really tough in terms of appearances. So that's that. I mean, I just feel like if you're insecure, like it can just completely just really blow up if you're not aware of what you're doing. And so
this is great. Love talking to you. It's really empowering, because like you are on your bullshit, it feels like. Because everybody has bullshit, but either we are, like, I often selectively, like, put it in its own compartment, but it feels like you are not afraid.
You're confronting it.
Yeah, you're not afraid of looking at yourself, like, the most beautiful parts, and then the, you know, the gnarlier stuff.
The tougher stuff.
Yeah, because I think I used to always want to control everything.
Doris.
Yeah. I want to and even if it's like, you know, I used to think I was like a monster. And so even if I'm like, I'm protecting you, that's like, that's ego. Yeah. Like, I'm protecting you from me. So I'm not like giving you me or any intimacy. I'm just like always like checking in. Well, also is because I grew up in a really rough household. So in my, as I was growing up, I'm always checking if mom's okay, if dad's okay, are they fighting, or am I gonna get in trouble? And I'm always trying to like check the temperature, or try to manipulate so I'm not in trouble or I'm not hit or all that. So if that is like my wiring, you know, that can, you know, cut
that's
to
baseline.
Yeah. Cut to being growing, you know, managing at UCB, and then also doing that type of behavior and not showing people exactly who I am, because I'm not sure if I like who I am or I don't know who I am, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just like, I can't, it's none of my business what anyone else thinks of me, or I can't control your brains. Of course, look, I want to so bad, but I can't. Like, and it's and I have to give that up just to have energy to do other things, you know. So I can control what I do. I can handle this side. And sometimes I indulge myself a little too much, like, but I recognize when I mess up, or, you know, otherwise I'm not going to grow forward. Grow forward. Who talks like that?
We do. That makes sense. Grow forward.
Yeah. All right. I'm talking too much.
If anyone who's listening wanted to find out more about Los Angeles, where are their Facebook group? how would they contact you, or where would they find more info?
I think you can reach out to me directly. Right now it's sort of just a secret group as we sort of build the community. My requirements are is that you're from you have Lao heritage and you live in LA in the Orange County. But pretty soon, as I figure out this paperwork, figure out these 501c situation, trademarking is something, wow, guys, lots of classes, then that'll be more of a public thing. It'll be, I'll try to make a big splash, so I think everybody will know about it. But until then, at Cool Up on Twitter, at I Am Cool Up on Instagram.
Awesome.
Great. Well, thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
Such a pleasure to talk to you.
This is awesome. Thank you, guys.
Yay. All right. That was amazing. I feel like I need to go to Heidi Rose, like, now.
I mean, you know my feeling about Heidi Rose Robbins. She's a very important person in my life. But I think getting in touch with your astrological sign is, and your rising and your moon.
Yes.
Which is, you know, you should be able to do just by hopping on the internet, is a good place to start.
I agree. So, Kate, last week your intention was to clean out your car and make that a peaceful space. Mm-hmm. How is that going?
You want to know how it kind of worked out for me?
Yeah.
Maybe this is one of those the universe provides moments.
Oh, my God.
The transmission in my car completely broke and has to be replaced.
No.
Oh, yeah. So my car is at the dealer.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm renting a car, so it's very clean.
Wait, that's amazing.
Yeah, I was given a...
got a loaner.
I literally dropped my car off, and it's so disgusting. I was apologizing. And as I took the car seats out of the back of the car, crumbs were falling all over the dealership.
They've seen everything.
I hope so.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm currently driving a Honda Accord, and it is so nice.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's a great car.
Great.
I don't have one in my real life,
right,
but in this pretend life I'm living, I have a clean Honda Accord.
That's
for
hilarious.
A week.
Hilarious.
It worked out.
Amazing.
How's your road rage situation?
So I haven't been driving that much, but I'm really trying to just take a beat.
Thumbs up. That's
like,
good.
That's what I'm just trying to do. I'm trying to just take a beat and be like, it's not the end of the world if you get cut off.
In any situation, that's valuable to take a breath, to pause.
Yes, and that's one of the things that in general I have the hardest time doing. My instinct is to go from like 0 to 60, which is not good.
I get it. What are you going to work on this week?
So kind of similar to your car situation, my bag is a nightmare, like the bag I take to work, which, you know, at any given time has like my laptop, it has so much stuff in it. I can never find anything, to the point where, in fact, you and I were on the phone and I had just, this was like last week, I was picking up medication at the fertility pharmacy.
Oh yeah.
And the parking structure there, it's like half valet, like you tandem park and you have to give your keys to the attendant. And he had me tandem park and I was like, do you need my keys? And he was like, yeah. And I'm like reaching in my bag. I can't find my keys. I'm like, I know they're in here. And then I'm like, hold on. I put you on mute. And then I put my bag down and I'm like digging around in my bag. And he's sort of looking at me with this like semi-amused expression on his face. And after like literally 2 minutes, like the longest 2 minutes of me digging around in my bag, he's like, it's okay.
Oh, you didn't even find your keys.
I didn't find my keys.
Passed you off.
Because my car opens automatically, like if you're in the vicinity of it.
Oh.
So like a lot of times I just like have my keys with me, but I am not using them. But then when I leave, I have to lock the car.
Got it.
So I'm just like, I need to do something about this. And I don't know if it means like carrying a backpack or just something.
Bags are like jeans, in which I'm always searching for the perfect one that's going to keep me organized.
Yes.
And I cannot find a good organizational bag.
And I started putting stuff in pouches.
Totally.
Because I was like, that will help. So like I have this pouch of like lipsticks and chapstick and stuff, which like sort of helps for that.
But you need like 50 pouches.
I need like 1,000 pouches. So I want to take this week and like figure that shit out.
I would love also recommendations for an organized bag.
Yes, me too.
Pockets and like a key hook and Totally. Or should we make one?
Yes.
Should we start a business?
Yes. No.
No, that seems like too much work.
What is your intention this week, Kate?
I have so many things I need to work on in my life. I would like to, I mean, this is kind of the same old, but the decluttering of my space. I will say for anyone who has children, I want to just express my solidarity in the numerous sheets of art and worksheets and school stuff come home and your kids are devastated if you throw any of it out.
Oh God.
So yeah. So I often throw stuff away like in secret, but you're not supposed to throw, like, you know, like my daughter came home with a worksheet for a Valentine's Day themed, like, coloring worksheet from her little like morning care program before school.
Yeah.
It's a pretty low stakes thing to bring home. It's not a project. It's not a masterpiece, but she was still clean. Like, I still couldn't throw it out.
Oh my God.
So there's just a lot of buildup of sheets of scribbled on pieces of paper. Like, there's just all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I have piles of it. I have buckets of my kids' artwork that I'm going to save and file away and you know, and then there's schoolwork that you want to remember and cards they make you. And it's all wonderful things. They're all amazing treasures, but it starts to just overwhelm.
Right.
And so
you need a system.
And I don't have one.
Yeah.
I just have piles.
Yeah.
I have piles all over America at this point. So yeah. I don't know if anyone has any advice on how. I know there are apps where you can photograph your kids' artwork, but I also am a person who likes to hoard by nature.
Yeah, me too.
And a lot of my kids' stuff is very sentimental. So
yeah.
I don't know. This is not really an intention, but just to start to kind of pick up at least one pile. At least one. I'm just going to do one.
I like that.
Start low.
That is
one
a
pile.
Manageable intention.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I think that just about wraps things up for today.
Well, Dory, this was very, very informative.
Oh, thank you, Kate.
Thank you.
Thank you for giving me the time and space to talk about my passions. All right. Bye.
Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Kate Spencer and Dory Shafrir and produced and edited by Sammy Junio. Please leave us Apple Podcast reviews. It really helps people find the show.
And definitely tune in next week. We talk to Priyanka Matu, who's a comedy writer and director here in Los Angeles. And she gives us the lowdown on her experience with postpartum depression and how that led to her own self-care routines.
She talks about facials.
Her experience leaving, being an agent and changing careers.
And her extremely minimalist skincare and makeup routine.
It includes a light zapper.
You're going to want to hear about this.